Welcome back to another Adam Schefter podcast as we get ready for the conference championship weekend, what might be the single most exciting day in football when we get to learn the fate of the two teams that will be representing their respective conferences in the upcoming Super Bowl. And there will be 2 weeks of coverage all about these teams, their coaches, their players, and everything surrounding their two organizations for the next 2 weeks. And it'll be two of the four teams that we see this week. We have the early game, the 49ers and the Eagles, the late game, the Bengals and the Chiefs. And we're going to be joined today by a man who worked in the personnel department of the San Francisco 49ers, was a part of the group that drafted a number of these 49ers players, but has accepted the general manager's job with the Tennessee Titans. And now juggles his two jobs of beginning to get acclimated to his new job while still cheering on his former team, Rand Carthon, the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans, will join us today. And we will begin to turn our attention ahead to Sunday's matchups, great matchups, the first one being the 49ers and the Eagles. Now, these two quarterbacks, Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts, two great stories, two tremendous quarterbacks. They met in college before, back in November 2019, when Oklahoma beat Iowa 42-41. And all those two teams did that day was combined for 11 total touchdowns. 11, which was incredible by Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts, who will square off again in a game that we could hope will only be as exciting as that one. And how about the 49ers? They're making their 18th conference championship game appearance, the most by any team all time. 18 conference championship games. That's incredible to me when you think about it. It'll be the sixth NFC conference championship game played in Philadelphia since 1970. And the only NFC team to host more conference championship games in the NFC than the Philadelphia Eagles, now hosting their sixth, is the 49ers, who have hosted 10 since 1970. So these two teams, you can make an argument, are the most prolific teams in the NFC, and now they will do battle to represent the NFC in going forward into the Super Bowl. A unheralded quarterback, Jalen Hurts, also was an unheralded quarterback. He's a second-round pick. Nobody expected him to make the jump that he did this season. Nobody expected Brock Purdy to be in the spot that he is this season. And these are two great defenses with two great pass rushes, two great defensive coordinators, two great coaching staffs. This is going to be a tremendous matchup on Sunday in Philadelphia as the first game of a doubleheader. And in the second game, we will get the Bengals and Chiefs. And think about this for a moment. Joe Burrow's 3-0 against Patrick Mahomes already. They beat the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game last year, 27-24, after they were trailing, by the way, 21-3. And then they played in week 13 this season, and the Bengals beat the Chiefs again, 27-24, which is remarkable. So now Patrick Mahomes has lost three games against the Bengals and Joe Burrow, the most he's lost against any opponent other than Tom Brady. That was the only other quarterback to beat him three times. So Joe Burrow already is in the company of Tom Brady, having beaten Patrick Mahomes three times. We know Mahomes is going to be out there with the high ankle sprain this weekend. His mobility is expected to be limited. He will not be 100%, but we'd be surprised if Patrick Mahomes is not out there trying to make more history here in another playoff push. And meanwhile, Joe Burrow, 5-1 in his playoff career already, which is incredible. That's what Joe Burrow does. And is there any quarterback or any player who's got more swagger than Joe Burrow right now? The Bengals are in the conference championship game for the fourth time in franchise history. They haven't lost, by the way, in the AFC championship game. They're 3-0, having won conference championship games in 1981. I remember that game well. 1988, 2021. And the Bengals have won 10 straight games, including playoff games. And the Chiefs have won 5 straight games. So we get a great matchup here with great quarterbacks in the nightcap for the right to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Now, one of the fun exercises I always used to do when I was a newspaper reporter as the Super Bowl approached and we're on conference championship game weekend was to kind of think about the various matchups. There are four potential matchups we may get coming out of this weekend. The first one would be the 49ers-Bengals, and that would be a rematch of a Super Bowl in Miami that we already saw. I'll always remember that game. There were riots in Miami that week. They fortunately tried to calm it down. They got the game in, and Joe Montana hit John Taylor, if my memory serves me correctly, with a game-winning touchdown late in the game. Maybe we get the 49ers and Chiefs, which would be a rematch of the Super Bowl that we saw in Miami right before the pandemic when Tyreek Hill caught that long pass late in the game in a game that the 49ers really controlled and should have won but managed to let slip away. Devastating loss for the franchise. Maybe they get a chance to extract revenge if they're able to prevail on Sunday. Other two potential matchups would be the Eagles and the Bengals. That's an interesting one. We haven't seen too many Eagles-Bengals games. Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow, two great teams, two organizations that have won a lot recently. That would be an interesting matchup. And then, of course, Eagles-Chiefs as the other potential Super Bowl matchup. That would be 2 weeks worth of Andy Reid having coached for Philadelphia and for Kansas City, having coached in Philadelphia, now having coached in Kansas City. And Andy Reid, by the way, has 20 career playoff wins, tied with Tom Landry for the second most in NFL history, with Bill Belichick and his 31 wins being the only head coach with more playoff victories. But those are the four storylines that we're looking coming out of this weekend. We'll see which one we get from these four teams, but it's going to be a great weekend of football, and we're excited to see how it unfolds. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any eight-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you
you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As for the guest on today's podcast, the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans, Rand Carthon. He played at the University of Florida under Steve Spurrier. He then went on to spend a few seasons with the Colts, where he played with Peyton Manning. He became a scout for the Falcons in 2008 and was there 4 years working alongside a fellow front office member by the name of Les Snead, who wound up becoming the general manager of the Los Angeles Rams. And when Les Snead gets that job with the Rams, he brought Rand Carthon with him for 5 seasons before he got a job with the 49ers and spent the last 6 years with the 49ers, during which time they had a tremendous drafting record. George Kittle, Brock Purdy, Juwan Jennings, DJ Reed, Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, Jeff Wilson Jr., Kendrick Bourne, all players selected in the 5th round or later, or signing as undrafted free agents with the 49ers. Rand Carthon was a part of that front office that had a role in bringing those players to San Francisco before he wound up being hired as the Titans general manager on January 17th. And today he joins us, Rand Carthon. Rand!
Adam, how you doing, man?
Congratulations to you.
Thank you, good sir. I appreciate you.
And it's nice to see you in person. I think we met on a field once briefly.
You know where it was? It was right outside of Parag's office.
Ah.
Because my office used to be right next door.
Yep.
I think it was, might have been Super Bowl year.
Because we had a Monday night game.
Yeah, we had a few Monday night games that year.
Well, nice to see you again, Rand.
Nice to see you as well through the computer screen.
And congratulations. It's an awesome thing for you. And I'm very curious, when you get the call last week from the Titans owner, Amy Adams Strunk, you're in the airport in a terminal waiting for a flight. Can you take me back to that milestone moment in your life and what was going through your mind when the owner of the Titans calls you?
So it was nothing like what I would imagine it to be. You know, I thought I was going to one day become a GM, call and get the news and have my draft day moment where we all jump up, scream and hug. But to get the call, I'm in a corner in the terminal. I was actually on the other line. My initial call, I missed Miss Amy's call. I saw the 281 number and I was hoping it was her, but then wasn't, you know, sure and didn't want to get stuck talking to someone that I didn't want to talk to. And then I get a text from Burke to call, and like the nerves immediately set in because you was going to hear one way or the other, right? Either I'm in or I'm out. And I get off the phone, and before I could call, Burke's number pops up, and then I answer, and it's Miss Amy. And you still, the tone sounded good, you know, because her first initial thing was like, you know, are you dodging my calls already? And again, like your nerves are like, am I hearing this right? Could this be? So you still want to hear the news. And then she offers the job and my heart just sank. And it was, again, I couldn't have my draft day, you know, moment where I jump out of my seat and go crazy. But it was like, it was fulfilling nonetheless. And after that, like I just, you know, I called my wife, called my dad, called my agent. And I still had to remain calm. So I've still to this day haven't had my full explosion moment, you know.
Are you going to have it, Rand?
Probably not at this point.
Yeah.
So much is going on.
You missed the window. I missed the window.
You know, I guess I got drafted sitting in the bathroom, I guess. I'm good at this point. It's here.
I think it's interesting. Your father is a longtime NFL player for the New York Giants, played in the USFL. There was actually a season where he played 45 games in 1985. He went on to go coach with the Kansas City Chiefs as an assistant head coach and coached there when Mike Vrabel played linebacker for the Chiefs in 2010 and 2011. But you did not meet Mike Vrabel for the very first time, I believe, until after you were hired as the Titans GM 1 week ago. Is that accurate?
No, you're about 98% there. I didn't meet Mike until the second interview Tuesday.
Okay.
That was my first time meeting him. Obviously, you know who Mike Vrabel is. I'm not going to say we played against each other. I was on the team in Indianapolis in 05 when we played the Patriots. I was inactive. My first time meeting him was last Tuesday for my second interview.
Oh, so you actually could have played against each other if you were active. I didn't even thought about it like that.
Yeah, I'm probably best for the organization. I wasn't active. But no, I think I don't even believe we won that game. That was during that time where the Patriots just had the Colts number, you know, at that time, and they were throwing in our sides. But some good battles, you know. Obviously, I've, you know, grew up watching the game and in the game and respected who he was as a player. I was always, you know, cool to see him catching those touchdowns as a defensive player. But everything that you thought about him as a player, you see, you know, in him as a coach.
And what was the expectation and the perception of what he was like compared to the reality of what he was like now that you knew that you were working side by side as your new head coach?
You know, it's funny. I was in my, after I met with Mike, I also met with, you know, Miss Amy and the crew. You know, this is part of the second interview. And you see Coach Vrabel on the sideline, you know, from afar, some of the facial expressions, you know, that he makes. And then to actually, you know, get to sit down and talk to him, and you realize he's more personable than, you know, what you see on TV. And, you know, it was just an easy conversation, just two football guys in talking football. And, you know, like I said, in the presser, you could just tell that our fundamental base of football comes from the same tree.
Now, when you were introduced, or when you arrived in Tennessee, the Titans put up a great video of you walking in the building. And it seemed as if every member of the organization had gathered around like it was a surprise party for you. You walk in and everybody is there to greet you, welcome you, and congratulate you on your new job. What will you remember about that moment? And what were your thoughts when you walked into that ovation?
First of all, can you believe that?
It was unbelievable.
Like, it's unreal. My wife looked over at my agent and was like, is this normal? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, no, it's not normal. You know, it was just an unbelievable welcome, one that I'll never forget. Maybe that's my big draft moment, right? Maybe it wasn't, you know, as a part of me doing it, but just being amongst the organization. And more than anything, what I took from that is, you know, how great the people are here, the organization as a whole. And, you know, I've been telling people more than anything of that welcome. It made me feel welcome. But more than anything, it added to my motivation of wanting to work my behind off for these people here. And, you know, they deserve a winner. They deserve, you know, all good things. And I'm going to, you know, work as hard as I possibly can to do my part, you know, in making that come true. But again, it was the grandest of welcoming, one that I'll never forget. But more than anything, I take the motivation from it to just push me that much harder.
I just don't recall anybody walking into any building in any field for any employer and being welcome like that. Like, I hadn't seen anything like that.
No, like I said, it was amazing. And then the videos of me looking up, you know, it's like I'm trying to take in not only the volume of the applause, right, but then like the scale of everything and how high up it went, and, you know, trying to make sure I try to make eye contact with as many people as possible and, you know, see the whole scale. Because from one view, you can only see from the camera the corner of it. But then there's another back wall where there were people like on the lower level and the upper level. And so it was just a broad scale, man. And it was just so cool, and so cool to have my family a part of it. And, you know, it was just awesome. It was just awesome.
What is it like for you now to take over as the general manager of the Titans while your former team, the 49ers, is still involved in the playoffs?
I mean, it's, you know, I can be a fan, right? And it allowed me to sit back and be a fan and root for these guys. And, you know, it's still a cool thing to see. My family was at the game Sunday, you know, kind of as, you know, our last send off. But it's awesome. It's something that, you know, we all worked hard for, you know, to get to this point. and it's a place where, you know, the 49ers organization expected to be. And again, like, I can just sit back and actually root for the team. And, you know, my nerves will still be bad because I want all the good things to happen to those guys over there because they deserve it. And, you know, they put in the work for it. So, again, my nerves will be bad, but I can now relax a little bit, you know, and my blood pressure won't have to get as high.
So you're not going to Sunday's NFC Championship game in Philadelphia?
No. My initial plan was to go, but I got a job to do here, you know, and I just owe it to the people here that are working. So, you know, Mike and I will be on the road together, headed to, you know, down to Mobile for the Senior Bowl. So it's just time for me to get to work here. And I can make sure I'm in position to, you know, root the Niners on, and they know that I'm there with them. You know, like I said, tons of good relationships with people there, you know, still talked to a few guys this morning, whether it was text or a phone call or FaceTime. And that's probably never going to change because I have such, you know, good friendships and relationships there. But, you know, it's time for me to, you know, lock in and focus on all my Titan business.
And before I let you go to lock in on that Titans business, I do have to ask you to take us back to the third day of the 2022 NFL draft when you guys are selecting Brock Purdy with the final pick in that draft. What went into that selection and what do you remember about it, Rand?
Well, you know, coming up on that last pick, you know, so many things are scrambling, right? You're getting ready for college free agency. You know, the coaches and the scouts are getting together. Everybody's going to their respective corners, you know, before you come out swinging and fighting, you know, trying to scratch and claw and get these guys. But what I remember most is how well, you know, new quarterback coach Brian Griese and Steve Slowick worked together. Steve Slowick was an area guy. He covered Iowa State at the time and was kind of transitioning over to become a pro scout. But Slowick has been, you know, he had been on Purdy for a couple years as one of his guys going through there and the guy he was really high on. And to have his evaluation co-signed by, you know, Coach Griese, who's coming in as a new, you know, new coach, but having played in the system and understand what it takes to play in the system, just those two guys coming together and being on the same page and, you know, us picking, you know, Brock. And I mean, man, it's very rare that you go through three quarterbacks during the season one, but then to go through three quarterbacks and you get progressively better with each one. Like, that's just rare.
Progressively better with each one, you think, right?
Yeah. So that's just a rare thing. But it's a testament to the process that was put in place in San Francisco with John and Adam Peters, you know, the work that they put in to set the foundation. But then, you know, the collaboration and the cohesion of the scouting and the coaching.
And seeing Brock up close and personal over the course of the past season, when did you think and know that he might be somebody that was different than your ordinary seventh round draft pick?
Well, I mean, again, you just got to kind of go back to what his background is, just in terms of, you know, the success he had at Iowa State in the system. I don't know how much I'm really allowed to say at this point now because I work for the Titans. Oh. He's under contract. So if I get fined, I will be sending you an invoice.
That's fine. You send me the invoice. I just want to know when you knew that he had a chance to be good.
You could just tell, at, you know, in the grand scheme of things, he was a kid that just worked hard from the moment he came in. And it didn't take for it to be a team sanctioned event. He came in, got extra work on his own. And you just saw pretty quickly that this was a kid that was determined to make his own way. And, you know, guys just gravitated to him early, whether it was offensive guys or defensive guys. They all respected him. And that's one thing you look for in a quarterback is, you know, obviously, you know, you hear the term arm talent. You hear all these terms. But the quarterback should have that it, you know, that it, that little moxie about him. And I think Brock had that walking in.
And last thing before I let you go, what did you know about Nashville before you arrived there? And what's it been like since you've gotten there?
It's been awesome. Everybody's been so welcoming and gracious. What I knew about Nashville coming in, country music, hot chicken, and Vanderbilt. It's what I knew. Having played Vandy, you know, here a couple times in college, and That was my exposure. I never spent, you know, extended time. I've driven through Nashville a bunch, you know, driving from whether it was St. Louis to, you know, Atlanta or down to South Florida. I've driven through a few times, but didn't have an extended stay until we got here last week. But I'm looking forward to diving headfirst into the community. I know there's a lot of great history, a lot of culture here, and my family and I are excited to be a part of it.
Rand, congratulations. Welcome to Tennessee. I appreciate you taking some time today. Look forward to seeing you again here in the future.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you for having me.
That is the former director of pro personnel for the San Francisco 49ers and the new general manager of the Tennessee Titans, Rand Carthon. Now, earlier in the year, we had the chance to sit down with the Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, and we thought, as the Bengals prepared for Sunday's conference championship game against the Chiefs, it will be interesting to hear some of his insights from earlier in the year. Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan. Brian.
Adam, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm great.
How we feel about getting ready for here? All right, first of all, nice to meet you, official. I don't think we've actually met.
No, not maybe in passing briefly, but yeah, not any length of time.
Which is odd to me because you're a lifer in this.
Yeah.
And I've been in this for 32 years. So it was kind of weird to me. And it was one of the reasons that I reached out. I'm like, you know what? I want to get Brian on the podcast. I want to talk to him, get a feel for him. And that's one of the reasons that I like to do this podcast, is because I get to meet people like yourself who are lifers, who have been involved in the sport all their life, who know so much about it and are so respected. And I get a chance to formally meet them in a setting like this.
Awesome. I'm excited to do it.
So you have a Super Bowl ring from Denver?
I do, yeah.
That your one Super Bowl ring?
It is my one. I've been to three. I've only got one ring, though.
So I would imagine you'd like to add to that ring collection that you probably have.
I would love to. That would be great, yeah.
How do we feel about the upcoming season here, Brian?
Really good, to be honest. Bunch of young talent, really good quarterback. Our defense has been playing great during camp and, you know, bunch of guys that have now done it before together. So you get a chance to go back and do it again.
Isn't it amazing how one season and a couple of players really can seemingly turn around an entire vibe and aura surrounding a franchise? Like, people used to think of the Bengals in a certain way.
Yeah.
And now they're one of the upstart teams in the league, a trendy pick, somebody that people want to go watch. And it all changed just like that.
Yeah, a lot of that has to do with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase coming in back-to-back years, you know, young and exciting and guys that are playing at the top of their positions, you know, guys that are probably as good as anybody that's out there. And when you get that going and a couple wins get behind you and all of a sudden the tide turns pretty quickly. It was pretty bleak, dismal first couple years here, to be honest. So it was a welcome change. But, yeah, when you get good young players and you win games, people get behind you when you win, and this is a fan base in a city that's enjoyed the process of getting back there. And so now you got a lot of support and a lot of excitement, and that's a good thing.
When you go through seasons like that, it's not fun. There are a few things that are less enjoyable than a losing football season. What stands out to you about the losing ways in Cincinnati early on?
You know, it really was because we lost some close games. You know, there's some teams that ran us off the field a few times. I mean, Baltimore being one of them, they got us pretty good. Pittsburgh ran us off the field. So your division teams were beating us up that first year. But we had a bunch of guys that were about the right stuff. We just didn't quite have the collective whole collection of talent that it takes to win in the NFL at that point. And I think we've done a really good job of replenishing that both through the draft and free agency here.
You know, Brian, I remember talking to people in Kansas City when they saw Mahomes for the first time and they knew right away what they had, and people in Los Angeles when they had Herbert and they knew what they had. Can you think back to a moment where you saw Joe early on where you said, okay, I know that this guy is going to be really good, and I know the long days that we've had here are going to get better?
Yeah, I think the most, you know, when the draft process was the starting point. You spend all that time watching this tape and you see everything that you could ever want in a franchise quarterback, as far as his play style, his leadership, his toughness. You saw all those things on tape, and to have that show up in the building really from the minute he got into the building was him kind of taking over as a personality. but I think his reputation preceded him. So he kind of earned some respect without ever having to step in the building. So that was fun to see. But I would say the first time that you really saw him take over was probably that first training camp, because the whole offseason was COVID. So we were never really together until training camp started. So that was really a bizarre way for him to start his career. But he came in training camp, and like the first couple practices was just on fire. And he was everything that we thought we were going to get. And it showed up almost immediately. And that was, he won the team over pretty quickly.
So when you go to the Super Bowl last year and you're facing Matthew Stafford, you have a lot of feelings for, what was that like for you personally to experience that, a guy that you coached, you're now competing with for a Super Bowl ring?
I didn't enjoy part of it necessarily. You know, there was a part of me that was really, really happy for him to finally be able to reach that stage. I've always felt like he was capable of that. I always felt like that was something he deserved to do and have a chance to do. I wish it wasn't against us in that moment, but you know, that's just the way it is. And I knew he was going to compete really hard. He was going to play really well. And he did. But yeah, it was a little bit mixed feeling. You know, if there was a silver lining in losing the Super Bowl, him getting a chance to have that ring would be it.
And let's be honest, the other quarterback you worked with in Detroit, you have to be very surprised to see Dan Orlovsky on TV doing the analysis he does today, right, Brian? I mean, you got to be really surprised at that, right?
I am actually not surprised one bit. There's nobody that likes to debate and talk about football more than Dan. And does a great job at it too. But yeah, Dan was actually a huge part of my earlier career. Just, he helped me a ton just because he had been around for so long and had seen so many different things, and really had a good feel for locker room scheme. And he was a big part of my early career, helping me get settled, get my feet underneath me as a young quarterbacks coach.
I appreciate you finally taking the time. It's nice to finally get the chance to talk to you. I truly appreciate that and your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
And there is the Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, in an interview we conducted earlier this season. Now, as we begin to get ready for this weekend's conference championship games, and as we tape this Tuesday afternoon, all five teams are still searching for new head coaches. It's worth pointing out that all four head coaches in this weekend's conference championship games and seven of the eight coaches in last weekend's divisional playoff game all come from an offensive background. Now, that doesn't mean that a defensive background head coach couldn't be successful. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to be great in this league. Ajiro Evero has a chance to be a great head coach. Dan Quinn, we have a lot of belief in. But it's hard to replace an offensive coordinator who's matched with a defensive-minded head coach. Whereas if you hire an offensive head coach, his skill set, his knowledge of offenses, the offense that he runs, is always going to be there. And so we have the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni, the 49ers head coach, Kyle Shanahan, the Bengals head coach, Zach Taylor, and the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid, all coming from an offensive background. And it's just easier to do it that way, but it doesn't mean that some of these defensive background coaches aren't going to be great, and we'll see what each of these five teams with openings decide to do in their quest to get their organizations turned around. Also, wanted to give a little shout-out to my colleague, the host of ESPN's Monday Night Countdown, Susie Culver, for what I thought was a brilliant gesture on her part, casting her fifth place MVP vote for the Buffalo Bills trainer, Denny Kellington. He got her vote for that award. It was a symbolic gesture on her part. And really, when you think about it, as valuable as Patrick Mahomes was this year, and we expect him to win yet another MVP, was anybody more valuable this season than Denny Kellington? I think not. And Susie did a great job of highlighting the work that he and all the medical staff and the emergency action plan team did on that fateful Monday night to save DeMar Hamlin's life that night. And great of Susie to recognize Denny Kellington. If I were a voter, and I'm not, I would love to mimic that gesture by Susie. Great job by her. All right. We want to thank our guest this week, Rand Carthon, the new Titans general manager. What a crazy time in his life. He's bouncing between his new job in Tennessee and his former job in San Francisco, rooting for the 49ers, his former team, which is still a part of his soul, and beginning to get ready with his new team, the Tennessee Titans, a challenging time in his life. I want to thank my great producers, Christina Buswell, Sarah Abbott, for putting together this podcast for another week, and you, the listener, for tuning into another podcast in this spot. Please join us again next week when we'll be back with more information, insight, interviews from this conference championship weekend as we begin to look ahead to the Super Bowl in Arizona. Until then, enjoy the conference championship games, be well, and stay safe.